I know. No, I was going to talk about the coffee.
Okay.
Good morning. I just wanted to let everybody know, if you need some coffee, we made coffee this morning, so there's a little bit of coffee over there and some creamer. If anybody needs a little pick-me-up, okay? There you go.
Thank you, Mima. All right, you guys. Who is ready for some declarations? Amen, amen, right? Can I hear you? Who is excited for some declarations? Woo! Woo! You guys, I don't think you understand. There is authority and power when we are together and we're in unison. Like I said, like, there's no part of the body that is more, less or more important than the other. We're all attached. My thumb would not be able to exist if it wasn't for the hand, and vice versa. If my thumb started to die, my hand would die also. So unless we cut it off, right? I'm not about that life. We're about raising each other up, speaking healing, and we're going to declare over our city some life, some goodness, some good things for the people of the city, the businesses of the city. So without further ado, will you guys stand up with me? There's just something about being charged up and standing up, speaking of the authority. But those of you who need to sit, you are more than welcome to sit, because that's good too. Just get your feet planted on that ground. All right? Here we go. In just a second. Oh. All right, that was just a test run. I'm glad to see you guys standing. All right, last minute. Here we go. All right, so together, on the count of three, we're going to sing this. We are going to say this, but we're not just going to say it. We're going to declare it, which means that you are going to have authority. We're going to say it loud so that the roof is shaken and the people are fearing, because they're like, what is going on in that building? Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen! Woo! All right. You ready for this, Lopez?
I'm ready. Good job, Nancy. I declare. We have a couple things. I want to, what happened to our little, this thing?
Oh, did it get moved?
I did. Okay. So, do we have the first announcement?
Yes.
All night prayer. That is happening this upcoming Friday. And, you know, I'll just cast a little bit of vision for this again. For those of you who maybe did not attend last one in January. This was birthed out of our 21 days prayer and fast, and it is exactly what it says. It's all night, 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. It's crazy, I know. However, powerful things happen when we take intentional time to pray. And so this is not just for our church body. We'll probably be sending out some invites, some personal invites, just to anybody who, I have some friends in ministry. I know Pastor has friends in ministry. And we're just going to be saying, hey, everybody come to this. And no, you don't have to stay for the whole thing. If you want to come from 8 to 9 or 8 to 8:30 or 8 to 10 or whatever you want to do, you can come. And, you know, there's a little bit of a structure, but not so much. Really, the goal is we're just going to bring down heaven for a little bit. Okay, how many of you guys know that it's good to just lift up the things on our heart to heaven? Amen? So, this is this Friday. Put it in your calendar. And again, no pressure to stay for the whole thing. If you're crazy like Pastor Mike and Gaylene, you totally can do that. But we did it. And you'll get your... Old people can stay awake, she said. I didn't say it. She said it. All right, next slide. And then the next thing we have, Pastor Michael... This is something brand new, got put on Pastor Gay's heart, but next Sunday is Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to be doing breakfast. And so continental breakfast. And so I don't know all the details of this other than what's on here. Do you want to just food? Okay. Are we going to do it here? Okay. Awesome. So we're going to be meeting here at 10:20 to 10:45. And, you know, if you want to come and hang out, and this will be also a great time if you're bringing guests, if you're inviting people to church, this will be a great time to have them come as well and meet the people here, meet the pastors here, and just have some fellowship. All right. So everybody's invited to that. And then as well, Easter service. So this is next Sunday. We made some cards. They're not specific to Easter, but we made them with Easter in mind. And so we have a stack of them here. Pastor Mike's going to go and hand one out to everyone. And this is what I'll say is obviously you could have more than one, but only take these if you're going to hand them out. And so, and I say that because how many of you guys have been at church or part of something and they're like, hey, take a stack of flyers. And then a year later, you find that stack of flyers in your car or in your junk drawer. And you're like, oh yeah, that one thing that I never invited anybody to. And so, and that's totally fine. But I know that some of you are a little bit more zealous to actually take these things and get, you know, put them at your favorite coffee shop. Or if you work in an office space or you work in a space with a lot of people, you can give them out, as well as I'll put something online on Facebook so we can share to our friends as well. But yeah, and like I said, these aren't specific to Easter, and so we could use these year-round because all it says is come to church, okay? And so, so yeah, so these are cool. So keep a few in your car. You know, like I said, if you go to, you know, Starbucks or CNS or something, invite the barista. They need Jesus too. Amen? And I think, is that it? Is there one more? Oh, there's actually a few more now that I think of it. Men's breakfast. This is the April 23rd. We've been having a great time meeting together as men. All men are invited and very encouraged to come to this if they can. We're just trying to get something going for our men's ministry. And so we'll meet at Sherry's at 9 a.m. on the 23rd. So it's going to be a great time. And then the last thing is thank you for giving. Thank you guys all for being generous givers and just sowing into what God's doing at this house. We love you guys so much. And again, if you want to give, you can always give online. You can give in the boxes here and in the back. And without further ado, Pastor Mike and Gaylene.
Thank you. When I was a young teenager, I was invited to church. I had gone to church, and I knew that God had tugged on my heart as a really young girl. And I went to church with my grandma whenever we visited her in Florida. And I went to Vacation Bible School and did all of those things up until I was a teenager. But I always knew that God was, like, in my heart. Like, he was so magnetic to me, like very attractive to me. I just loved the feeling that the Lord gave me when I thought about him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So with that being said, I was invited to a youth group social thing, and it was actually at the pastor's house, and the kids were playing games and they were eating food and they were, and the pastors were cool. They were joining us. I mean, it was just a lot of fun, and it was a lot of youth. And it wasn't shove God down your throat kind of thing. They just invited all these youth to come and have fun and eat and just be together. That is what drew me in to regular church going, is that. I think that's why the Lord put it on my heart about the continental breakfast, because it's a great way for people to come and not feel so much pressure. Not that I'm not into pressure at times. I think pressure is good. But it has to be appropriate.
Especially if you need something done, right?
Exactly. But so just invite your family and friends and let them know about the continental breakfast before. You would be amazed at how much food draws people. People like to eat. Sometimes people need to eat. And people are just attracted to food. And so it would be a great idea to just start out Easter Sunday morning, just fellowshipping, and that's what's on my heart to do. So that's why I really felt that we needed to do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, how many know here what today is? Sunday.
It's Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is what they call it. Yep. Another type of expression is the triumphal entry. This is when Jesus came from the Mount of Olives and came into Jerusalem, and people were throwing palm branches and all of those things. And a lot of churches make a lot of fanfare out of it. We never really have. I've always said, you know, like for Easter, every day is Easter. Easter's just another day, really, I think, because the resurrection story is really displayed when someone comes to Christ and their life is resurrected out of death, hell, and the pit. It's when someone's resurrected out of addictions. That's what Christ died for, not just for that one day. I don't mind celebrating Easter, you know, or the resurrection day. We do. But this is also another day. And I wasn't as aware of this as I was made aware. And so we're going to look at what Lamb Selection Day is. Lamb Selection Day. What does that mean? Does it mean we're going to like some meat market somewhere? No, we're going to see.
Everybody stand up in the middle aisle. We're going to go down and we're going to pick the best one.
we'll start with a verse here. Go ahead and read that if you can, hon. Can you read it okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
Exodus 12, 2 through 6. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight.
Now, how many know the story of the great exodus of Israel out of Egypt? Most of us, you know, seeing 10 commandments. Well, this was the command that was given to the Israelites just before they were to have this Passover meal. And the Passover meal was also inaugurated by them putting blood from the lamb on their doorposts on both sides, on the upper part, and which kind of makes a cross, which we always pointed that out at encounters. You guys remember that? Make it real. And it was just another one of those types and shadows in the Old Testament that declared the protection of us in Christ by the blood of the Lamb. But this particular lamb was to be without blemish, without spot, and they would take it on the 10th, which, how many look at your watch? What day is this? The 10th. Oh, yeah. I'll show you a little bit later on. I've got a calendar to kind of show you. But this is the 10th of what was Abib at that time, A-B-I-B, and now it's Nisan. And I guess it was changed during when the Israelites were changed to Chaldeans and Babylon. But what it means is that when the moon has its first new moon, that's when it's completely dark, 10 days after that new moon, there would be this ceremony. And this was the first inauguration of that. And what they would do is they would take the lamb and they would examine it for 4 days, make sure that it was without spot, without blemish, that it was going to be worthy of the sacrifice. And so that 14th night, they killed at twilight, not in the evening, not in the day, but right at the change of twilight. And I'll get into it a little bit later on about what that means for Jesus. Well, I'll just say it right now. When he died, it was around 3 o'clock. And in the Jewish beliefs and Hebrews beliefs, that was considered twilight because it wasn't quite full daytime and it wasn't quite night. It was that change of that hour. But anyway, so we have this lamb that's being slain. And this lamb was selected by, you know, they weren't picking lambs that were limping. They weren't picking lambs that had gouges in them or had gotten in a fight. Or they were picking lambs that were pure and spotless and without blemish. And that's because it was representing, even though they didn't know what they were doing, it was representing Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Let's look at another, let's look at another scripture here. Went off. There we go. Sorry. Is that it? There, yeah. Zechariah.
Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
So this is in Zechariah. This is one of the Old Testament prophetic words about the coming Messiah. That Zechariah, during his prophetic utterance of chapter 9, speaks. And this happened a lot in the Bible. You would see that either David would be writing something or one of the prophets. And in the middle, they make a statement that then later on doesn't necessarily make sense at the time when they're saying it. It doesn't, like, why is he saying that? It's because they were speaking prophetically for the coming Messiah, sometimes several hundred years later. And that's what's happening here. So rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king, the King of Kings, king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Notice that salvation is part of what he brings. He's not just coming to deliver them from evil. He's coming to save them. And of course, we've talked about salvation, how it means salvation from everything in our lives. Not just being saved to go to heaven, but salvation from sickness, salvation from diseases, salvation from things that have caused us to be in addictions and all kinds of lifestyles and heart conditions that aren't God's best for us. That's the salvation that he brings. Mm-hmm. And here's another verse.
Psalm 118:25 through 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
I put this here. Save us, we pray. Save us, we pray. You know what word that is in Hebrew? It sounds like Hosanna. That's where we get the word Hosanna. Save us, we pray. Save us and we'll pray. And we'll see in the next scripture reading that is what the people are crying when Jesus is coming. All right.
Matthew 21, 1 through
11. Go ahead
and
read the first two verses.
Okay. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me.
So here we have that they're getting ready to draw near to Jerusalem. They're at the Mount of Olives, Bethphage. And this is the day that we were just talking about. This is the day of selection for the Lamb. Now, basically, historical records say, Josephus and others, that most likely at this time, there were individuals coming from all over Israel, all over that area. And they were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate what? Passover. So you know what they're doing on this day? They're bringing lambs. They're all carrying a lamb behind them. They're taking it to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They must have family that they stay with and celebrate the Passover with, because they're leaving their homes to come to this feast. This is one of the feasts that the Jews were required to actually go to Jerusalem to be there. There was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles.
And some would travel for not just days, but weeks to get there.
Some would travel a long time, exactly, yeah. Depending upon how big their family was and all of those things.
And it really wasn't a choice. Oh, today I'll go to the celebration. Oh, no, tomorrow I won't go. You know, it was actually something that people looked forward to going.
Right.
And coming in to this. I mean, it wasn't just something that kids could stay home and play their Xbox while mom and dad went to the celebration.
Well, they had Xboxes, and I had no
idea. But you know what I mean. Kids couldn't just stay home. Everybody went.
Yeah.
And you will like it then. You know what? I mean, there's just no choice. You're going. So it's something that was big and powerful, and everybody did it.
Right. Exactly. And so what we have here is we have people bringing their selected lamb on Lamb Selection Day. And who comes in? The Lamb of God. Humble and riding on a donkey. Let's go ahead and keep reading here. Go ahead.
If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.
So here we have his disciples getting a charge. You know, they're getting ready to come into Jerusalem. And he sends two of them out and says, listen, I want you to go get a colt, a young donkey, and I want you to bring it back. And they're like, okay, where do I get this colt? Lord, I mean, where am I going to go? Well, you're going to go to this place. You're going to find it. It's going to be tied. Untie it and start to bring it back to me. Some of the other gospels say that, you know, when the people were saying, what are you untying that donkey for? They're going like, oh, the Lord requires it. Oh, definitely take it. I was thinking, what's that donkey's history? Where did it come from? How did it end up at that place tied up? Did someone know when they saw that donkey when it was born, like, this is going to be used by God? I mean, it was at the right place at the right time. How many of us have seen that happen in our lives when God puts us at the right place at the right time, and we're like, we're just thinking that we're going through normal life, and yet here it is, we're at the right place and the right time, and the Lord uses us for his glory. In a way, he rides us because he's being displayed when we perform the act, that workmanship that he's given us to do.
Right.
Amen. So behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, a foal of the beast of burden. I like that, the foal of a beast of burden. How many know that Jesus was like a beast of burden? I mean, he carried the most heaviest burden that there has ever been for mankind. Not just crucified on a cross. Yes, he was crucified, but he carried the burden of everyone's sin. He carried the weight of the world upon him. You know, we say, he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, Jesus carried the world on his back. He carried the world. He carried the weight of all, not the goodness, the worst part of the world.
Yeah.
And then he didn't just carry it. He took it inside of him. It says that he became sin who knew no sin. That means that the most righteous, glorious, beautiful thing that God ever made became sin for us. He was a beast of burden. He carried the hardest load that no other man could carry. No other ever has. It was necessary for God to carry the weight of sin because no human could do it. Let's look at another verse here. All right.
The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, that followed him, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.
So why were the crowds so excited? Well, for 3 years, he'd been doing miracles. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, he had raised the widow's son from the dead. You know, healed blind eyes, caused lame to walk. Women who were completely hunched over with a demonic oppression, fully given liberty to stand up straight. So he had definitely a following.
Yeah.
But you know what they were expecting? They were expecting a king. They were expecting their king to come in and deliver them They were expecting this king to come in and get Rome off their backs. They were ready for a king that would make them free, like David did, like Solomon did. They were going to be a kingdom again. They were expecting that he was going to do great things, not seeing in the spiritual, they were seeing in the natural. And Jesus said clearly to Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world.
Yeah. And they were expecting an entourage. They were expecting robes and crowns and a carrier and him to be seated in the middle and guys to be lifting him up and carrying him in. And in walks a donkey. It's like, say what?
Well, like, they took what they could get.
They did. They took what they could get. But I'm just saying the expectation of the people was completely their thoughts on royalty. And
right.
Then they get Jesus.
Right.
They get a donkey. They
ultimate
get a colt.
Ultimate royalty, but they don't see him.
They don't see it.
For our benefit, they don't see him.
Right.
So I want to show you another one of the Gospels, reason why they say all these people were gathered. This is John.
12:17-18. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign.
Now, this is the only gospel that mentions it, but just keep in mind, it was just a couple days previous that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He brought his dear friend and brother of Martha and Mary back to life. And it was a significant miracle because he wasn't just laying on a cot. He wasn't just, in his room, and someone could say, he must have just been asleep. No, this poor boy was wrapped in dead man's clothes, the strippings, and probably had the weight of the oils and the spices on him.
Right.
And he was put in a tomb, and they closed it up to the place where his sister said, listen, if you pull that away, it's going to stink, God. It's going to stink, Jesus. Don't do that. And he says, listen to me. Do what I say. And so then Lazarus came out with grave clothes on him, and he said, loose him. And everybody there said, oh, my goodness, this is a significant miracle. I think other than probably the water turning into wine, it was the most, dramatic type of miracle that Jesus did, although all of his miracles were amazing, walking on water, all of those things.
And when he said, loose him, it was the people's faith that took over at that point. They got to be a part of this miracle by releasing the death clothes, everything off of him. They were the ones that got to be part of the miracle because they wanted to see as much as anybody else what Jesus had done for Lazarus. Yeah, he came walking out, but what kind of condition is he going to be in after 3 days in a dark tomb with, he's gonzo and he probably smells and all that. But once he came walking out with all of those things wrapped around him, and Jesus says to the people, you loose him. And they're taking those clothes and the wrappings and everything off. They became part of the miracle.
Right.
Which is still vibrating to this happening of the entry. Like they're still humming with excitement because of what Jesus had done for Lazarus by raising him up from the dead. They're still in the throes. I mean, you guys all remember coming back from Encounter. I mean, it took days for you kind of to come down off the exciting high that you got on the mountain from Jesus delivering you and you receiving freedom and all of those things. They're still humming with the excitement of seeing Jesus raise Lazarus. So here comes Jesus entering in on a donkey, and they're beginning to get excited all over again.
Not seeing what was going on. Here are all these folks coming into Jerusalem,
right,
coming down the road, bringing their lamb behind them with a rope, walking. Not carrying them. They usually put a little rope around their neck and then had them walk behind them. What have you ever thought about a donkey? What do you have to do with a donkey? Not like a horse. A horse you can just ride, right? And they'll go where you go. What do you mostly do with donkeys? You lead them, right? Because they need to be led. So I bet somebody had that donkey by a rope and was leading it. And so just in the same type of picture as a lamb coming into Jerusalem to be slain at Passover, so was the Lamb of God coming. They're thinking a king's coming through the door. They're thinking a king's coming into Jerusalem. No, a lamb's coming into Jerusalem. The day of selection for the lamb was the triumphal entry on Sunday. Right. And that is a special day for us this day, because for whatever reason, our Julian calendar and the Hebrew dated calendar, based back in Exodus when they designated this first month. Keep in mind, their first month wasn't January. Their first month before the Israelites was, or the Jews, was in September, and kind of changed from September to August. But God instituted this spiritual calendar for them. And it is their beginning of their year. Mm-hmm. And on that 10th day, they would select that lamb. And on the 14th day, that lamb was sacrificed. So if we look at this, and this is April 2022. Is this not cool? So on Friday, the 1st of this year, we had a new moon. Now, I don't know if this is linking up exactly with what happened, you know, at that time, but I think it's interesting that we happen to hit a 10th date for our triumphal entry.
Right.
Keep in mind, our calendar's shifting. That 10th is always changing. The new moon's always changing. This doesn't happen very often.
How many years?
Since 1960. And I tried to look, and I didn't see it, because they don't have calendars that go back, you know, all that far. But
so that's 60 some odd years.
60 some odd years before this has happened again. Yep. So if we look here, that was the day the lamb was selected. And that's when Jesus came down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. 4 days later, on the 14th, as was instructed by God to Moses, then the lamb was slain. Jesus is crucified. Most likely at the same hour as when they would be crucifying or killing their lamb, he was crucified. Isn't that amazing? How God set it up so that the not just the blood on the doorpost, but the entire sequence that they performed with their ceremony of the Passover meal was depicting Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. And then, as we know, on the Sunday, the 17th this year, will be Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And that's what it was. That's when he arose from the dead, was on the 17th of Nisan. And so our calendar, Julian calendar, is exactly matching the Jewish calendar. I think that's pretty cool. I don't think God does things by accident. So Lord, what do you want to do in 2022? What are you trying to tell us about your death, burial, and resurrection, about you being the lamb that was slain? How do we communicate this truth to others, mm-hmm. so that they just don't hear, you know, that Jesus just died for them, but God planned this from the foundations of the world. Jesus came, keep in mind, at the fullness of time.
Right.
So all of the stars were set in a certain way. All of the earth was prepared in a specific way. You know, some people say, you know, today, oh, I don't want Democrats to be, you know, controlling, you know, Congress and all of. Well, keep in mind, I bet there are a lot of people that didn't want Rome to be running Jerusalem either. But it was necessary for Jerusalem to be overran by Rome, because they were the ones that had the equipment to crucify him. Without Rome there, we wouldn't have gotten the crucifixion.
Right.
His hands and his feet wouldn't be pierced, as it says in Psalm 22. Right?
So why are we sitting here? I mean, I look at this recognizing from the foundation of the world, Jesus planned today. All the way back then, he planned in our little church today. Why? Why are we all sitting here? He is the one that encouraged me to get up out of bed this morning when I did not feel like it. And be here. If there was ever a day to miss church for me, it would have been today. And God's like, you got to go. And I said, okay. But for each one of us, we're all here. We're all seeing this magnificent. It's not a coincidence. God is not a God of coincidence ever. He's very intentional. You're sitting under intentionality right now.
That's good.
Hearing the Spirit of God say, I planned this for you. I planned today for you to be able to sit in this service, to hear that message, to recognize what he's done to match up these calendars, to for us to hear the anointing flowing out of worship and being here together, praying over one another, encouraging one another. God is intentional in what he's doing, and he intentionally picked you to sit in the chair you're sitting in today.
Just as somebody intentionally tied that colt somewhere.
Right.
For Jesus.
Right.
Not knowing who it was for. Maybe they did. Maybe they had a prophetic word. Maybe they knew, but,
they may have, but
maybe God just put it on their heart. Don't do anything with this mule. Don't do anything. I have something special for it.
Tie it right there.
Tie it right there.
And everything will go perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if God can use a mule for his glory, he can use us. All we have to do is let when the opportunity comes, that we go ahead and let the situation carry out, the circumstances follow through, that we let
right.
what God wants to do, let it happen. You know, I didn't pray it this morning. Usually I pray it every Sunday. Lord, let your will be done here in this place today as you've intended it to happen here in heaven. Let your purposes and your plans be fulfilled. How you desire this service to go, whether it's us not preach or whether, you know, it's the altar just being full of people weeping, whatever you desire,
yes.
Lord, we want to make sure we're linked up with that. And that should be the story for our lives.
Yes.
It shouldn't be that we do our own thing and then every now and then we give God some space, like not having a God spot. Like you were saying last week, we all need to have a God spot or have God in his spot in our lives. Let me put it that way. To when he asks us to move, we move. He asks us to stop, we stop.
Yes.
He asks us to be tied up and wait, to tie up and wait until we get our next instructions.
Right.
And, you know, we're celebrating every day, you know, Jesus' resurrection in our life, hopefully, because it's the same Spirit that raised him from the dead,
right.
gives life to our mortal body. Like you said, getting up this morning,
yeah.
that was a communication of his resurrection power in your life to give you strength for your mortal body.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to sit there and let our mortal bodies govern us,
right.
even though sometimes it feels like we want to. We can give God access to us fully, 100%.
Right. Right, amen.
And so when you think of this month, think about the 10th and that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain or selected for you for his being slain. Not just a king riding in and people thought the king was coming. No, the Lamb was coming in. And God made sure that it was communicated by his word that he was the Lamb of God. Once again, the Lamb of God. You know, that's how John recognized him. Behold the Lamb of God. That's how he described him. He didn't say, behold the King of Kings. No, behold the Lamb of God. John the Baptist had an inside track of who Jesus was.
Right. Amen.
And in heaven, if you read Revelation, you read a lot about the Lamb too.
Yeah.
So, does anyone else have anything today?
Vicky does.
Vicky does. Okay, come stand right next to me, right here. Oh, you need the mic. There you go. At Cell Group. Oh, she could have shared it.
Cell Group. Scrapbooking.
Scrapbooking. Cell Group.
Yeah.
Scrapbooking.
Yeah, our Cell Group.
Your church meeting. Yeah.
Ouch. If you look at this, donkeys have a cross on their back.
Oh, that is so cool. You guys can't see this, but
they have
maybe
a cross
can.
On their back that
can
goes, the crossbar okay, goes nope, down their just shoulders where they carry their weight. And then the line down the back. But
that is cool. Thank you. I did not know that.
Yeah, Tara brought that up with us.
Well, thank you, Tara.
All right, worship team.
You were worthy of it all.
Sometimes your plans for our life are hidden from us, just as your major plan for mankind was hidden from most of mankind. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to see, Lord, with spiritual eyes. We'd be able to see, Lord, how intricately you are working in each and every one of our individual lives, Lord, right now, Lord, to have your plan and your purposes fulfilled. And Lord, that as your people, we would surrender, Lord, our hearts, our lives, Lord, to you. And Lord, we'd be able to see, Lord, through our spiritual eyes, Lord, through our hearts wide open, Lord, you working in our lives. And be able to sing, you're worthy of it all, no matter what we're going through, that you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. Not of our complaining, not of our discontent, Lord, but Lord, you're worthy, Lord, of our lives, trusting you, hoping in you, waiting on you, for you to have your will in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to show you that picture. I got it so you guys can see it. Is it up there? No, it's not up there. Where is it? Hello. There it is. See that cross? That is cool. I had no idea. On the back of all mules, pretty much? Huh? On all mules? Wow, that's so cool. Zeke? Oh, yeah. That is so cool. Yeah, it's just like a mark, just to remind us that God says, hey, I know what I'm doing. Yep. Well, love you guys. Have a great week. Hopefully we'll get to see you next week at 10:20 for a continental breakfast. Amen. And invite your family and friends. If you'd like to, come and get some more cards to hand out at work or on the basketball court or whatever you want to do. All right. Love y'all. Thank you, worship team. Great job.
Time.